Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the School of Ministry podcast. Woo! I am so excited today. First, Pastor Bob.
Howdy, y'all.
To my far left, illustrious. I like saying illustrious.
Illustrious.
My favorite. And to my immediate left, Athena Lowe.
Yes. That would be me.
It is Athena. Yeah, we're back with you once again. Excited today because we're continuing with a previous podcast. We're going into the book of Psalms again, and we're going to talk about Psalm chapter 2. Very exciting.
Wow.
So, Dad, I would love for you to kick us off. We talked about Psalm 1, and it was about, blessed is the man, and it's kind of very individual. But you had a really great point about Psalm 2.
Right. It's interesting because when the people put together the Psalms, mm-hmm. right, and like we talked about, these are prayer book. It's a prayer book right. and a song book. But the first one was from the perspective of a person, right, the man. The second one is nations. Mm-hmm. And so, people make up nations. Right. So it makes sense that God would first put his focus on a person, mm-hmm. individuals like he does us. But then also how we as individuals come together to make up a nation or a church.
Right.
Or, whatever. Go ahead. Whatever you have there. A kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay. And so there's a, it's interesting how it's just put together like that. Because these Psalms were probably not written in this kind of order.
Right.
Who knows the order they were written in and who did the writing for that matter. A lot of times it was David. Sometimes it wasn't. Some people believe maybe Ezra pulled some of this together and wrote some of it even. And got, and several others that are listed in there, Psalms of other people. But it's just it's wonderful just to think about over like centuries that it got put together like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the thought I had. It's pretty, the word of God always wows us. That component always wows you because so many scriptures, and someday we may do a whole podcast. We'll have to get Pastor David here because he'd be the genius on that, right?
Yes. The walking Bible.
But where how many scriptures written centuries apart all come together.
Yeah.
Like in the end and just fit like this giant glove and people who had no knowledge of anybody else bringing the same word or a confirming word or direction that was fulfilled. It's a little mind-boggling when you actually think about it, when you think about all the books and all the years. So anyway,
that's wild.
That's our introduction to Psalms.
So I'm going to read, let me read the first three verses.
Okay.
This is out of the NAS. 95, you might have the 2020. Just kidding. And there might be some other translations here, but so it reads, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Okay.
Yep.
So, Athena, kick us off. What did you get out of those first three?
A lot.
Go for
Not
it.
Not a little, a lot.
Swing away.
Obviously. Pieces of it. The nations, as you said, is a people. Mm. It's the Gentiles. It's the nations. It's the community of mass. So that's what I got from, but the rage part of it, I had to look a little bit more into that one. And obviously in the Strong's, it says conspire to plot and to make a spectacle. And so in that, the very first thing that I came to was 1 Corinthians 13, that if you're not doing something out of love, you're nothing but a noisy gong, right? Mm-hmm. And I really felt like this was an example of that because these people are not doing what they're doing out of love, right? Because it says in the next one, they plot a vain thing. Right. Like, right? Vanity is not truly an action out of love or an attribute of love.
Right.
And so the plot or devising, as you said in your translation, it basically ends up creating something that's empty or idle or has no real sustenance to it. And so being that noisy gong, making an expectation is selfish. It's more of for yourself. It's more of self-gratification. And again, I think that in regards to this, if we kind of look at the world today, we have a lot of that, like with social media and things that are going on. There's a lot of look at me, look at me. How can I make more people follow me or want to see me? And that is a way to do it. But again, if it's not done out of love, you're not getting anything out of it. It's not, it's not creating what God wanted to create from it or from you or from us. Do you know what I mean? And so that was huge. And then the kings of the earth set themselves apart. And again, we find ourselves always looking to, and we can even do it in the church sometimes, I think, where we look at our pastors as like the end all be all, and we can almost set them up as an idol. And I think that some people in the world also do that with leaders. And I think we need to remember that God places leaders in their position. He makes sure that those people are there for a reason, whether it be something that we agree with or we don't agree with, knowing that God put them there and that he's still going, he's still on the throne. He's on the ultimate throne, and he's always going to be on the ultimate throne, no matter who is president or king or council member or senator or any of those things.
Come on.
God is always going to be that number one authority, that number one leader.
Yes.
And so, but in this, what we're hearing here is that the nations and those leaders are trying to raise themselves up above God and what it is that he is trying to accomplish here. They're coming together and trying to unify in order to separate and divide God's people and God's work. And that was huge to me because that's, as we know, a huge ploy of the enemy is to divide and to separate. God is to unite, to bring together. And in this, we're seeing where he's literally in this, in David's words, is that they are trying to, consort together, counsel together, go against the Lord's anointed one, God, Jesus, his church. And then break the bonds into pieces and cast away their cords from us. Wow. That to me was just, it was huge. That's why I said I got a lot out of this one little part.
Yes, you did.
So I will now divert to you guys and have you.
Well, that was I never got past the first word, why. I just
why ask why?
Because I always start everything I do pretty much with the why. I ask why, the question why. And so when God is saying why, and it's interesting because in pretty much every translation, it starts with that word why. Yeah. They don't, maybe there's some translation that it gets, I think it's pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
And
God's like, it's why? And he's really I believe he's prodding us like, why? What do you think? So I think he's calling us to, our attention. He's using the word why to get our attention so that we will engage this whole process that he's going to go through with us. Like go, oh, okay, so you're asking me to look at something, to discern it and to judge it and to figure out why.
Right.
Right. And like you judge it. You have all the information you need.
Sure.
You have all the inspiration you need of Holy Spirit.
Sure.
You have all my word. So, you have guidance. Now you need to judge.
Yeah.
Like why? Ask, answer the question. Why do the nations rage? Why do they go crazy? Why? What's behind that? Because a lot of times, if we want to go natural, we'll always come up with, well, there are, religious and political differences. And positions and it's like, but he's asking why.
Right.
Right. And so the why, the answer to that why is a spiritual answer.
That's right.
It's not a political answer.
Right.
It's not a, I have a particular way I like to do things answer. It's spiritual.
Right.
And it's significant. It's so significant that nations rage because of this.
Yeah. Right.
It's so significant that the kings of the earth, they take counsel together. Like, in other words, they think they're smart enough to come together against the Lord, not just you and your feelings, not because just because you're a Christian person,
right.
You have these precepts you believe or try to live by, but actually against the Lord and his anointed, his Christ,
right?
Yeah. Right? And that's someone, that's a people that he has anointed,
right?
Yeah.
Right? So he's placed, anointed, assigned, and sent into a place. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why?
Right. Mm.
Why do you think? So that really, you know, that gets us to a whole different place if we're actually trying to walk this walk with, mm-hmm. you know, God in this earth at mm-hmm. this time, and we start to become kingdom minded. It's like, oh, there's reasons behind all this. And it has a lot more to do with, you know, has a lot more to do with spiritual things than, you know, how I, you know, dress or how I talk or how I, you know, my political connection or preference and what I like to eat and what, you know, what, how I wear, you know, all of that stuff has almost nothing.
Right.
Actually, and he doesn't bring up any of that. He's like, no, this is the reason why. They are against me.
Mm.
Right. And you represent me.
Yeah.
That, and so it's you know, we all, you know, here's the deal. And I love this. We always, the enemy always tries to complicate things, mm-hmm. right? And I always say this, that, you know, he comes up with a really convoluted, complex, you know, you hear people, my mind's like a whirlwind. I can't figure, why are all these people doing that? What's happening? I can't figure anything out.
Right.
And God has simple answers to complex questions. Oh, yeah. He never has complex answers to simple to complex questions.
Yeah.
It's always simple.
Right.
He always just said, well, I say, or stop, or cease, right? His answers are extremely simple, and people respond, nations respond, the earth responds, right? He puts his hand and goes, that's as far as you're going, water.
Right.
He says, you know, stop to the winds, they stop. Mm-hmm. You know, his, so his answers to a really complex storm in our lives and all that is like, stop.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's simple. Yeah. But when you're raging and when you got all this going on, we try to make the answer very complex, and it's very simple.
Right.
God, you know, we represent God, and he represents us. And everything that's not of God is going to be against this.
Right.
It's just that simple. It is. And so we try to fit into our culture and try to, you know, and I know that. I know we, you know, we're not going to be against our culture and hate them. And, you know, we're going to put hands out and help. And but we're not them.
Right.
We're God people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it doesn't, you know, it's not, I don't feel like, you know, I earned something. God did that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have earned it, right?
Right.
But there's a difference.
Yeah.
And this, the nations, this world, and the world system is going to rage. And it's going to continue to rage.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's raging against him. It's not raging against, you know, like I said, it's like a diversion. Mm-hmm. And you see this all the time, by the way. You see this in every country, by the way. Every country I know of and have read about, there's always this political attraction. Like, that's the problem.
Mm.
Right. And it can be fixed politically. Right. Right. It's like, no, it can't be fixed politically. No. It's actually a governmental issue.
Right.
It's the government of the kingdom.
That's right.
And the king.
Yeah.
Right. And it only gets fixed that way. It doesn't get fixed politically.
That's
anyway,
right.
I went off on a whole
team. No, you're good there, Dad.
This is what this is about, right? This is like, you know, and so it's let us, and this conspiracy of let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Holy mackerel.
I know.
Right? It's like, don't give me, we sing, just give me Jesus.
Right.
The nations are singing, don't give me Jesus.
Right. Release
me. Take this, please release me, let me go. You know, there's the song. And it's like, Anyway, I went off on it.
No, I love what you're saying. The scary part about that last couple of verses, you know, as we were coming out of Psalm 1, you know, one of the last verses in Psalm 1 says, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So the way, which is their lifestyle, which is the raging, the rebellion that they're in, it's so bizarre that the way that they perceive the goodness of God is as a shackle.
Mm.
They see the goodness and the mercy and the truth of God as a chain.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how twisted it gets. But that all comes about because of rebellion. I was super rebellious just yesterday. No, many times, right? when we are rebellious, we are actually erecting our own kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we're raging against or dissenting against. We're leading a mutiny, if you will, against yes. the Spirit of God who's working within us to bring about the kingdom of God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are in a full-scale rebellion,
yeah.
and we're raging. You know, I looked at, again, go back to Psalm 1. I'm like, oh, let me look at this in a personal sense. Because if the nations are raging, and those are the multitude mm-hmm. of people, let's go back to the individuals who are probably raging mm-hmm. and resisting. And they're in their rebellion, and they're saying, take this off. I don't want your law. I don't want your shackles is what yeah. is the way mm-hmm. that they're seeing it. Mm-hmm. How many people, you know, like Pastor Bob, you've been in ministry for many years, and I know people have come to the Lord and they're like, why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to give that up? Right. Why do I have to give that up? And we're like, look, you got to understand, this isn't about a bunch of rules,
right?
But you have to understand how the King desires for you to live
yeah.
as part of his kingdom, as one of his children, like he's grooming you and raising you to become an heir. Right.
Yes. He's also designed you
yes.
to live that way. See, that's the thing, is people coming to his kingdom, because we're blind
right.
when we're coming, right? We don't recognize that we're not designed for this world.
Right.
Right? We're designed right. for his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so we've learned, this is why, you know, Bible and Romans, you know, don't be, conformed to this
right.
world.
That's right.
But be transformed. That's metamorphosis. That's a full changing.
That's right.
That's yeah. a different life. So be transformed into a different person,
mm-hmm. yeah.
a Christ person that's not conforming to this world. And all the stuff you learned, that's not how you were designed.
Right.
Like you're a different person now.
Right.
You came out of the cocoon. You fly now.
Right.
You're no longer like stuck
you
worm and eating
now.
Dirt.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. But it just struck me how they're just the perception yes. of those who reject the Lord is that the God is trying to put shackles on them.
Yeah.
It's so backwards and perverted, mm-hmm. you know.
But it's very normal.
Well, right.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it happens. The interesting thing also is that in reality, what you have to do when you do that is that if you're refusing the king, mm-hmm. you have to set up another idol.
Mm. Right.
You have to set up a king. It could be self. It could be somebody else. Right. Everybody's going to serve somebody.
That's right.
And so now who is that somebody yeah. going to be?
Right.
And was it the person that loves you and created you to be with him? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be someone that absolutely hates you,
right,
and wants to abuse you and use you,
mm-hmm.
yeah. yeah, and is not interested in relationship with you. He's interested in you being a slave,
right?
And so that's
hello. Talk yeah. about shackles and chains,
shackles yeah. and chains. yeah. So you're right. I love what you're saying, because it's like we look at God's like connection to us mm-hmm. as shackles and chains, and reality is we are totally locked down in shackles and chains of the enemy.
That's right.
Like
on the constant.
Isn't that why it's yeah. just
it's crazy?
It's the we were yeah. talking about kingdom a couple yeah. weeks ago. It's the upside down kingdom. It's like
you
were born into the upside down kingdom. You're born into darkness, the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah. Right.
The kingdom of darkness has you shackled, has you in this place of slavery, subject to yes. sin. You cannot get out of it. You don't know any other way. Right. This is just how it right. is. Oh, and if you buy this now, you'll have this right. really great prosperous life in yeah. the kingdom of darkness. Okay. And then you come into his great light and you come into the kingdom of God, and it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah. What they were saying, it's your Matrix moment, right? You're just like coming alive and you're like, whoa.
Wait, we did a movie thing. I love
yes.
it.
Yeah. Red pill
without
or blue
Pastor
pill.
David here.
I feel his anointing. I feel the anointing of lean. It's the lean anointing.
The lean yeah. anointing.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to read for us verses 4-6.
Can I say one thing that I was feeling when you were talking about that, when people are coming to the Lord for the first time and they feel like, why do I have to do that mentality? And I feel like that's almost a heart check thing, because if your heart is in the right place, and you're really longing and you're at that point in your life where you want a relationship with God, it won't be a have to, you'll want to.
Right.
And so I think that in this regard here, all of these people, their heart is not after their relationship right. with God. It's after that. So therefore, yes, the shackles, all of those things mm-hmm. accompany that. But I just felt like that was something that
it's
you just said.
Really
so.
Good.
It's really good.
Really good. Yeah. Okay, verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Mm-hmm. The Lord scoffs at them. That's so funny, right? Verse in chapter or Psalm 1, we're talking about the sitting in the scene of scoffers and mocks. Mm-hmm. Now the Lord scoffing at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger mm-hmm. and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I could keep going. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Okay.
Earthenware.
There's a whole much, so much.
There's a lot.
There's stuff yeah. talking into the New Testament.
That's
and
right.
Jesus coming. And mm-hmm. like I said, this is one of those things where he's pulled together like thousands of years of, or hundreds of years of,
right.
at least, maybe even thousands, you know, things that are connecting scripturally right. and in the earth. Mm-hmm. And you just get wowed when you actually start like meditating on this. You go, wow, this is amazing that God's talking like this.
Yeah.
And then like he's whoever's writing this is prophetically speaking
oh, yes.
about this is my son who it's going to happen now. It's going to happen 500-600 years later,
right.
you know, like, hey, from heaven mm-hmm. with witnesses.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal.
It's yeah.
Like, whoa, what happened there? It's like, oh yeah, that was in the heart of God. So mm-hmm. the crazy thing about the scriptures and God's word mm-hmm. is that it's eternal. So it doesn't mm-hmm. have yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It is
right.
All right. It's
right,
the right. I am thing. And so right. when he said that, he said it there. He probably said it before
right.
time was and said it while Jesus showed up.
Right.
And he's saying it now, mm-hmm. actually, mm-hmm. Because he's looking mm. in kingdom perspective. He's looking to us, his people. Mm-hmm. And I want to speak to, this is not exclusive. If you're listening, this is you also, if
right.
you know Jesus.
Yes.
And he's saying, this is my son.
That's right.
Like us, mm-hmm. whom I'm well pleased.
Yes.
And you have to hear the voice of the Lord telling you that. Like he's pleased with you being his. Mm-hmm. Like that's such a good place.
Yeah.
So, you know, those shackles that those people were trying to tear off, God's like, here, let me shackle you this way. Let me hug you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, you're my son.
Yeah.
You know, and so the holding that I have on you is one of love.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not one of bondage.
Wow.
It's just one of love because you're part of me.
That's yeah. good.
Anyway,
I got the picture as you were saying that and depicting that hugging, uh-huh. The yeah. embrace, the word yes. we call it an embrace.
Yes.
I have with my children at times, if they're not happy with me and I go to embrace them, they're yes. fighting the embrace, right? They're like, oh, let yeah. me go. Yeah. Don't touch me. Leave
right.
me alone. And I'm right. like, ah, that's what we do to him. That's what we do to him sometimes. right? Yeah. Okay. Kick. What did you think, Athena?
Well,
and
even on the embrace, I just want to take it to the next level. There's an intimacy there.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's required. And in order to have the intimacy, you have to have some sort of relationship with that individual.
Mm. Right.
Somebody's not just going to walk up to you off the street and give, well, they might. But you know what I mean?
You might have to pay for it.
Yeah.
good point. Yeah.
It'll be true love.
true love.
True love. Yes.
Oh my goodness. So yeah. So some of the things that stood out for this was just a reiteration of how God sees everything, hears everything, knows everything. Nothing gets past him. I think in our day-to-day life, we can just go through things ourselves and feel like, oh, well, maybe God won't see that or it won't make a difference or an impact. And so I just felt like that needed to be emphasized mm-hmm. here. Because in this, he is seeing what the nations are doing, what the people are doing. And he's holding them as mockers, scoffers, the same thing that we saw in Psalms 1 mm-hmm. of the ungodly.
Right.
So he's holding them as ungodly for these actions that they're doing, that these things that they're trying to break apart, the raging, all of this stuff, the self-righteous things that mm-hmm. they're doing.
Right.
And then he shows the wrath. And so we have seen God, God even in his anger loves us. Mm-hmm. And so we have seen so many times in the Bible where he has shown his fury, his anger, and his disappointment in us. But then he always comes around with that love and then again gives us more than we ever could have thought in the outcome of that punishment per se. But with God, I don't look at his punishment as a negative thing or a punitive thing. It is all out of love.
Right.
And I think that's a huge thing that we have to recognize in that. And he will, even in our own lives, show us his displeasure and warn us, like he is doing here, of, wait, you're getting really close to that edge.
Right.
Something's going to happen. And then again, I was the same thing as, like, obviously foreseeing that, you know, Jesus, God is bringing his son, Jesus, and then also us to make his place on earth, to bring heaven to earth. And so nothing, no weapon formed against us shall prosper ever. And it's been the same then. It's going to be the same today, and it's going to be the same tomorrow, just as God is. Right. And then when he, when we say, I will decree or declare the decree that the word has said to me, I really felt like it's just like a reiteration of making sure that not only in our actions, but in our words, that we're speaking the truth that the Lord has shown to us and spoke to us and imparted in us. And part of that is when we meditate in the word and we get what we're supposed to out of this, making sure that we're sharing it like we do on the podcast. We're sharing that with other people to make sure that they're getting what they need out of it, because it's a reciprocation again.
Right. Very good.
And then you are my son, who got that. And then the inheritance, the earth for the possession. There, the Lord doesn't put restraints on what it is that we can have. And I'm not only talking just about like worldly things. I'm also talking about spiritual things. And that was one thing. And that, that one little area there that I got so strongly was, the earth for your possession is not only just like the earth as in, you know, the trees, the water, the ground, the people, like the earth. And the, it is the abundance and the unlimited nature that God has and is able to give to us. And our spirit and our forever life that we get to be with him, you know, in heaven, all of these beautiful things, like that is, that is what spoke to me right there. Like he has so much beauty and so much for us that we can't even imagine, that he's putting it in the terms of, I will give you the earth for your possession. Because that's what we fathom here on earth. That's like the biggest, most amazing thing that you can think of. Oh God, you're going to give us the earth. And then, so he really just impressed though that it was, it wasn't really limited to that physical actual earth.
Really good. Wow. I love what you said about the decrees. Again, there's that word decree. It's a legal term. It's, you know, a king makes decrees.
Yes.
He sets into law what his wishes are for his kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, it's his thoughts about how his kingdom should run. And when a king makes a decree, it is such. It's like, it's permanent, you know? And so those are awesome. I love all these. This is very kingdom, you know, language, and he's talking about people and nations, but it also says he who sits in the heavens, like the Bible says the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool.
Right.
So he's sitting up there. I almost think this is a little bit comical, although he is upset. Yes. He's being provoked, you know, and his wrath is getting kindled. Like the Bible speaks of his anger being like a fire. He is an all-consuming fire, but thank God for Jesus who keeps us from that all-consuming part. So he sits in the heaven, he's on his throne, and he's looking down upon his creation, and he's going,
yes,
look at these guys. He scoffs at them like, really, what are you going to actually be able to do? Like, do you realize how lost you are? Do you realize how you are earthenware? I love that word. It's like you're made out of dirt.
Yeah.
Do you realize that the only reason why you're walking around right now is because I breathed into you?
Yes.
And even though you're in a dead state, you're still existing, because that's what God is eternal. He's forever.
Yeah.
So when he creates things, they are eternal and forever, which is very interesting. then they are either eternal and forever in him, with him, or eternal and forever not with him. Yeah. The really unfortunate thing, and I pray that we come into an understanding of this, is that God will give you exactly what you pursue, whether it's him or not him. Those are the only two doors. You're either walking in a way that will lead you to righteousness, or you're walking in a way that will lead to destruction. And so that's what he's speaking to a bit here. And then I love this verse six is the king. This is God speaking to me. I hear God speaking here. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy hill. And then the response of Jesus in verse seven, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance. When I read verse eight, what stands out to me is that he says, I love this about the Lord. And in learning about prayer and like just giving my life to prayer more, I've been learning that the Lord will tell you what to ask of him.
Right.
He'll instruct you. That's that scripture again, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. People think that's like, oh, if I'm really good and I go to church, that means I can ask God for whatever's on my wish list and he'll give me a bunch of material possessions so that I'm blessed. And it's like, not at all.
You earned prayer points.
You have 1,500 prayer points. How do you want to spend it? That's hilarious.
You have a bank account.
It's like my prayer rewards. Every time I pray, I'm banking up rewards. Well, you are banking up rewards, but not for your material possessions, right? That's that whole ask anything you wish, but you don't have because you ask amiss. You're not asking according to his plans and purposes. But I love this here where he tells him, ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. So he's saying, son, ask for this. Ask for this, because then I'll give it to you. No, just ask me for this, and I'll say yes. And how many times in prayer, you know, recently we've been finding that a little bit by Holy Spirit's leading, of course, that he says, pray for this, because that's what I'm doing right now. Pray for this, ask for this, because I want to give that to you. It's super cool. Like that's a very interesting dialogue I'm seeing right there. And then verse nine, you shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Obviously we know that the day of the Lord is a day where Jesus will return to the earth and he's bringing a sword. That sword represents a division. He's going to say, you are with us or you are against us. And so it would behoove you, old school word, it would be in your best interest to get on his side. Don't rage against him. Don't resist him.
This is best for you.
Take his embrace. It is good. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting also that that scripture actually is prophesying ahead into, you know, when it, he says, asking me the nations to Jesus.
Right.
Actually coming to the Gentiles,
right,
too.
Right.
There's a whole nother aspect of that that
that's
way
good.
Back then, he really is promising the nations, not, I mean, yes, his people, Israel, but the nations. And there's this has opened up all through the scriptures, actually. This isn't something that just happened once, or, you know, and that's why he was so rejected. That's why Paul and all the apostles were rejected, because they were starting to go outside of the little, you know, village, right? But yet God had always spoken about that, and he promised his he's telling his son, hey, let's not just do this people.
This is so
let's
good.
Get everybody.
Everyone.
This is so good. Can I add to as you're saying this, Dad, again, in a kingdom context, it is like there's a royal family, right? And you can't be in the royal family unless you're birthed by blood.
Right.
That would then you'd be considered royalty. So you're a commoner if you're not royalty. What God did was he said, I have a royal family, but they're resisting me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the doors to you becoming royalty, no longer common.
Right.
You will become royalty, but you have to be birthed into it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up your birth. I'm going to set that up through salvation. I'm going to send my son, my king, to die for you. And when he dies for you, that blood that he pays will ransom you, pay the price fully for you to become part of the, let's call it commonwealth, which is usually the term you know, referred to what's part of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. But now you are not just you're a citizen of heaven, but you are royalty now.
You got adopted. You're
born of God. Yes. You're born of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you are royalty now. You are of him.
Yeah.
You can't get any more of him than that, yeah. Right?
Right?
And so that's this incredible opportunity, and it's the opportunity of opportunities. That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he wants to teach you how to operate as a son.
Right.
Now that you're blood bought, purchased, he wants you to learn the ways of the kingdom now, and you're going to be taught. And those aren't shackles, my friends. That's bands of power, right? You ever seen Kings and they have
Wonder Woman.
Incredible bracelets?
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you could be Wonder Woman.
Oh, movie. We got a movie one going on here.
There we go. Movie reference number two. Okay. You got one for us.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anything more on those verses?
The only thing that for that part of it was with Jesus and this foreshadowing and knowing what he's saying Jesus is going to and can do. Mm. One of the things that was really impressed on me was that we have that power in us. The power that is Jesus is in us.
Right.
And it also says that greater works will we do than him. Yep. So it's God is explaining these things and saying these things, and it 100% applies to us as well. In regards to these actions that we can accomplish and that we can do in our day-to-day and the things that we're dealing with here on earth right now.
So good. I mean, God hits like everything at once. Mm-hmm. So you think, oh, well, he's focusing on the heathens and the nations and the people rebelling. And yet he's also speaking sonship right in the middle of it. He's going, hey, you know, this is the deal. Yeah. Like you were saying earlier, the deal was he wants to bring many sons to himself.
That's right.
He is, you know, Jesus is the firstborn among many.
Right.
Right, brethren. Yeah. And so has always been the plan.
Mm-hmm.
It was not another plan.
Right.
That was the plan. And he puts it right in the middle of, you can lose that by going, oh my, he's breaking them with a rod of iron. It's like, yes. But he's also made you kings and priests.
That's right.
And sons and daughters in the kingdom.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I just, it's great stuff.
This is Psalm 2.
I know.
It's amazing. Okay. So final verses here, 10 through 12 says, now therefore, O kings. Oh, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Speaking to those earthly kings. Notice it's kings in lowercase. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are those who take refuge in him.
Yes. Mm. You know, the first thing that strikes me, and I'm going to let Athena talk about her things on here, but the whole, you know, in the translations, it's kiss the Son,
right?
You know, lest he be angry,
right?
Kissing is an intimacy thing, and he's telling them come into relationship with the Son, and it's an intimate relationship. Yeah. It's not hands, you know, arm's length away. It's not like, oh yeah, I know about God-ish sort of things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be one of those kings that I know about that stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, God bless America. did I just say that?
You did.
Throw that in there.
No, no, really. No, we have that. It's demonstrated all the time.
Yep.
But he's like, no, you need to kiss the Son
because
there's going to be an anger associated with it's going to be an issue with your life if you're not bringing yourself to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's opening the door, right? It's not like he says, you can't kiss the Son.
Right.
He's saying, matter of fact, it's almost a command, kiss him.
Yeah.
Like this, he's
embracing.
He's embracing him. I'm bringing him to you. I'm offering him. Do it.
Yeah. Right.
And now the question, like I said earlier, you know, what idol do you have and who's going to be your king and all that kind of stuff? Or is my rebellion too much? You know, I can't bring myself to that place.
Right. Mm.
And so, it's such a welcoming in the middle of all the, you know, caution and things that could be really bad happen to you.
Yeah.
He's also going, there's an There's an option, but the option requires relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's never just requires association.
Right. Mm-mm.
And so he's like inviting you into the relationship. And I think, and making a distinction between relationship and just sort of associated with him.
Right.
Like I know about of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I got a lot of that as well. Yeah. I took it as it was like a final warning out of love. That it was like another way of saying, I love you this much. Let me again explain how you cannot have these consequences. And then a second layer to that whole relationship aspect of it was that not only did they want that intimate relationship, do we want that intimate relationship with God, with Jesus, but it's in that we find our identity. So we are no longer mistaken. We won't fall out and be ungodly. We won't be raging and doing things that in vain and all of these other actions that that God's warning us about in this. We would know who we are, and therefore our actions would be out of love. We would be walking godly paths and doing the things that we're supposed to be doing and producing the byproduct. We would be allowing other people to learn from us, to walk with us, and we would be learning from them and walking with them as in a godly relationship. Right. So again, it's like that cross. So we have each other, and then we have the relationship with the Lord, but it is an intimate one of love. Right. And then that will allow our heart to be in the right place and make not feel like we have to, we'd want to.
Right.
So
I love that.
So good.
It's really good. So yeah, that's verse 10. Show discernment, take warning. Those are all behaviors. Mm-hmm. You know, we are either going to demonstrate that we understand the difference between right and wrong. Mm. And that all, again, that dives all the way back to delighting yourselves in the law of the Lord, right? Meditating on his word. That's how you sharpen and actually have discernment, right? You can make decisions as a human, but there's a spiritual level actually spiritual power. The Holy Spirit helps you to understand. Mm-hmm. The word of God is powerful. It's a discerner. It cuts down to thoughts and intents. So we have to be in the word in order for that to happen. In order for you to show discernment, you have to know discernment. Ooh, that's a tweetable. And I mean, know in the intimate way.
Take note, Rose.
In order to show discernment, you have to know discernment. And then take warning. The same thing. Hear his warnings. When he says warnings, it's interesting he follows right up with that with worship the Lord. Mm. Because if you hear the warning, you can't but help. You know, when the Lord is tugging on your heart, you can't help but soften and go, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right, Lord. Who am I? Why am I thinking these vain things? Why am I like so upset and pushing against you? I'm rebelling against you. I'm sorry, Lord. And we turn back to him. And in that, we worship him with reverence, with respect, right? That's all. Reverence is a holy respect. Mm-hmm. And then we rejoice with trembling, right? So we don't let our rejoicing lead us back into this place of pride and I've got it figured out. It's actually, I rejoice with trembling. I'm still fearful, like not afraid, but I am, again, reverently respecting the Lord. Yeah. I'm giving him his due. It's so beautiful. And I love that kiss the son. Mm-hmm. I know in mine it says do homage, you know, which is more of a kind of a gesture. It's like a thing that you would do if you were greeting a king, right? If a king walked in the room, we don't know this from the Western culture at all, but if a king walked in the room, oftentimes there would be a bow. There would be a deep bow. Right, depending on how reverent you wanted to show it. Some people would give their own kind of pomp to it, their own style, but they would bow, and it would be their unique expression of paying homage, right? But do that, he's saying. Recognizing him as king.
Yeah.
Recognizing him as the leader and Lord of your life. Yes. It's beautiful. And then I love how it ends. How blessed are those who take refuge in him. Mm-hmm. Let him be your abode, your dwelling place, the place that you run to for safety.
Yes.
You know, there's these scriptures, these last few, and we've done this in three sections, because they really are sections when you think about it. And this section, when it starts with, therefore be wise, O kings.
Right.
And it's interesting because you would think the person who's the king has attained someplace.
Right.
And he's probably smart or wise. And, you know, you would just assume that somebody at the top of the food chain would have something going, right? Mm-hmm. And yet God is saying, be wise.
Right.
You know, it's like he's instructing them, you know, you need to take on wisdom, which goes past your just the stuff you know.
Right.
Right? It goes into discernment. It goes into places that it comes from God, wisdom from above. Mm-hmm. It goes past this earthly thing you think you know. And then it goes, and the next thing he says, be instructed, you judges. Now, I don't know, but when a person gets, in reality, when a person gets put to a place of a judge, they are, you know, probably highly educated. They probably, you know, have a lot of, you know, supposedly should have some discernment and should, you know, they should be, they're equipped.
Sure.
And, you know, this is a person that's equipped and God says, be instructed. Mm. So there's this continuing process that he wants for people who are kings, who are in charge of things.
Right.
Or us.
Us, yeah.
Or people who are judges, you know, people who discern things, us. And where we are continually instructed, and we're continually feeding on him and bringing wisdom into our life.
Yes.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, so absolutely.
That, so that it's not like, oh, I attained or I got it. See, I read the book and I know what it says, so I got it, right? And, you know, I went through, I got, you know, judgment 102. I passed it. And so I know how that works, right?
I cut that but class.
If yeah, you got that. Yeah. I challenged the class.
Yeah.
I got a C. All right. So whatever. But the reality is there's a, you know, God's like, hey, my wisdom, my instruction, my judgment goes so far beyond what you naturally understand that you should always be a student of it.
That's good.
You should always be like feeding on me, dependent on me.
That's right.
So that when I place you in a place of judgment and discernment, you're not just judging from your natural understanding.
Yes.
You're listening to the Holy Spirit and he's leading you into places and you're judging a righteous judgment.
Yes.
Yeah,
I love that.
Super and good. When you see, you don't just see with your eyes,
right?
But you're seeing with God's eyes on a situation,
right?
And you know, so there's a whole lot going on there for kings and judges that you know it speaks to a lot of levels that we can just like pass over that.
Sure.
Yes, we can apply this to the kings of the earth and the judges of the
earth,
and it is that. But in reality, all of this is for us because the Bible isn't written necessarily to the world.
Right.
It's written to God's people.
Right.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. So I want to add one last thing to what you were just saying, Dad, because again, when you speak, I get pictures. It's kind of funny. So again, in a kingdom context, in order for a king to be a king, he has to have a territory, right? And that's called a kingdom. So it's what's interesting is when the Lord purchased us back, we became the territory of God, right? So that's why he says the kingdom of God is within you. And he put his spirit in there as the Lord or the governor to govern that territory. Mm-hmm. But then he also uses the word kings, small k, plural. So we are kings and priests, he says. Well, what am I a king of? I don't have a territory. And he goes, ah, but you do. Because what I've delegated to you is your own soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get to govern your own soul, but not just on your own. I'm going to give you a Lord to help you learn how to govern your own territory. So that's how we become kings. I feel like that's important for somebody to understand that their soul is the territory of the kingdom of God. Yeah. And he has put you in charge of that territory to govern it.
Yeah.
And you can either run it into the ground or it can be the most prosperous, fruitful, life-giving place that you are tending and that you are allowing Holy Spirit to govern and teach you how to govern that place. And that's how we become kings. And of course, he is the King of Kings. So when he shows up, we take our crowns off, we throw them before him, and he has preeminence. Yeah. He is the ruler of our hearts. And so maybe there are some out there today that need to receive him as King, as Lord of their life, receive Holy Spirit as Lord and governor of your life, and yield and learn how to govern your own soul. The territory that God has purchased by his precious blood has won and is then turned back over to you to rule and reign in that place. And that's on an individual level, right? And then when we all get together and we're doing that individually and we come together corporately,
yes,
then there's the body of Christ, who our king is Jesus. And so all these different territories, if you will, these treasures and earthen vessels come together and we make up the body now of Christ. Mm-hmm. We then become that kingdom for him to rule and reign here on the earth.
Amen.
I love it. Well, yeah, I think it does speak right back to Psalm 1 when we're talking about you become that tree.
Yeah.
Right? Because a king, I mean, that's really the king mm-hmm. or the king of your life, you know, and your, you know, guarding and guiding your life by Holy Spirit. You really are a tree, like it talks about in Psalm 1, back to that one. And if you're listening to this podcast and you missed that one, you should go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot there going on. It's the run up to this one.
So. It is.
Yeah.
Dad, would you mind praying us out on this Psalm 2?
Yeah.
Just to bring it to a close.
Yeah, let's just go before God. Jesus, we love you.
Thank you.
Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. And I ask now that you would just guide us continually, Father, the words that we've spoken here about your word in Psalms 2. Lord, I pray that those words would reach out to the people who have listened to this and come into their soul, Father, this day, Lord, and start to really interrogate their soul in a way not to harm them, but to draw them close to you, Father. To Father, give them vision of their sonship, Father, in you. To give them vision of you as king and them planted in your kingdom, part of you. So we just commit everyone that's listening now, Lord, into your hands.
Yes.
I pray, oh God, that blessing would flow into their lives, that you would touch them, Father, with your presence and your goodness. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father. Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Holy God, thank you, God. Thank you for your presence.
We worship you.
We exalt you, God, and worship you, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, God.
Thank you,
Lord. Faithful God. Amen.
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 Hey, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Hey, and go with God, huh?
Go with God.
Yeah.
See you next time.
Bless and be blessed.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, go to spiritschoolofministry.com.